Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday afternoon. Hope you're staying hydrated. It's a hot one out there. We have multiple heat advisories in effect throughout Western New York. Allegheny County, Cattaraugus County, Chautauqua County, Genesee County, McKean County, Niagara County, Northern Erie County, Orleans County, Southern Erie County. You know, next time we get a meteorologist on the show, we're going to have to ask, why do they, when Northern and Southern Erie County are both in the warning, why do they still put it as two separate locations? You know, because if you see Northern Erie County, then you're in Southern Erie County saying, oh, what? But no, it's all of Western New York. That always bothers me. Like, just put Erie County. Why do we have to put Northern and Southern? I'm going to have to ask that to Aaron or Andy next time we have one of them on the program. Because there's obviously a reason for it. And I know in the winter, right, a lot of winter advisory, snow stuff, you know, Southern Erie County gets, on average, more of the snow than Northern Erie County, right? My 2 years in Orchard Park, I witnessed that. It's a whole different thing down there. But when we're talking the heat advisories, again, this is all of Western New York, so stay hydrated. You know, even for someone like me that likes an energy drink and a nice cup of coffee in the morning, just make sure you're chasing that with several bottles of water to stay hydrated. Again, want to be able to enjoy summer, but got to hydrate. Now, are you ready? Because we're gonna talk about this for 2 seconds, and then we'll get into the pressing topics of the day. Are you ready for the least surprising news that you will hear on this program in the next 2 hours? The Costco in Amherst has been delayed again. I know. I hear the gasps in the cars and in the offices throughout Western New York. Costco, which was originally supposed to open spring of 2026, and then it was pushed to August of 2026. Well, it is July of 2026, and we are now being told that Costco Amherst will not open until October, and we're looking at one of the last, like the last week of October. So pretty much November. So you've got Costco. Will it be open by October? I'm not placing any bets. And we'll see. Station 12 is supposed to start opening doors this fall, right? We're supposed to have an opening ceremony and everything. We'll see if that takes off. But Costco, if you were thinking that you could go bulk up on Halloween candy at Costco Amherst, I've got some bad news for you. That looks like you'd be pushing it because it has now been delayed again, the third delay of Costco Amherst, and it will be opening sometime in the last week of October. So if you want to wait and hope that it actually sticks to this plan, maybe you could buy some Halloween candy a day before Halloween. But that is a note from the town of Amherst supervisor's office that Costco now expected in October. So you can't, don't plan on, you know, getting your tailgate supplies for the first Bills game at the new Highmark Stadium at Costco in Amherst. Just continues to get delayed. And I know I pick on Amherst, right? And Sean Lavin and I have talked about this. But, I mean, again, you've got two pretty big projects, right? Station 12, which, I mean, we were hyping, not we, Amherst was hyping up Station 12 before the pandemic. You know, I don't want to sound like the county executive every time he gives a speech and have to bring up COVID. But before the pandemic, we were talking about Station 12. And we have Whole Foods and At Home. We had an empty shell sitting there for years, and now it looks like some of that final construction's getting done. But you know, I'm sorry if I'm going to not bank on, I'm not going to schedule that first Costco hot dog around what the supervisor's office says, because again, it's been nothing but delays. And when with Station 12, it's been nothing but empty promises. Now, again, it looks like that's turning around, and I'll be the happiest person when it does, because, as I said, I will be critical, and I will call out things that I think need to be called out. But I root for Western New York. I root for the economy in Western New York. And I think Station 12, Costco, these things are big boosts to the Western New York economy. So I'm rooting for them to happen. But when you put dates out there and they continuously get pushed back, I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't call it out. And when it comes to Station 12, I mean, it's been an eyesore on one of the busiest roads in Amherst/Tonawanda for years. You know, I wouldn't be honest if I wasn't calling that out, especially the kind of stuff that I focus on. So, again, Costco pushed back again to the last week in October. Well, if you were up last night and maybe watching the Home Run Derby and you had your phone on you, or you were scrolling Twitter or X like I was, there was some news breaking last night here in Western New York. First, with the abrupt resignation of the Buffalo Schools superintendent. And this, let me tell you, this was a shock. I've talked to a Buffalo school teacher, and let me tell you, it is a shock. This is someone who recently gave a five-year plan. And I don't mean, you know, a month ago. No. He gave a five-week plan. I'm sorry, a five-year plan 7 days ago. 7 days ago, he released a 54-page document and also gave an in-depth interview about his plans for the district. This was July 6th. So I'm sorry, it was 8 days ago. My math isn't the best. It was July 6th. And here we are 8 days later. He has resigned. And we're learning more. Not only has Dr. Pascal Mobunga resigned, he has resigned and he won't be getting any kind of buyout, any kind of severance package. He also, the board has waived his 90-day notice. So he is supposed to give a 90-day notice if he was going to resign. And the board said, never mind, you can just leave. And you really want to wonder what's going on here. I mean, if we look at the last few years in the Buffalo City schools, we have gone from Kreiner Cash, who got a lot of FaceTime because he kind of was the spokesperson for all the Western New York schools during the pandemic. He steps down. We find out he's not even living in Buffalo, right? Which apparently, allegedly, doesn't happen anywhere else. But he was not living in Buffalo running the schools. Right. And then we are now with the interim superintendent on the third superintendent since Kiner Cash. It's a job that no one wants to stay in or no one can stay in. And it really sheds a light on the Buffalo City schools and what exactly is going on. And you don't have to look any further than the conversation that Susan and Brian had this morning with Mr. Bruno. And I mean, some of the things he said, this is a guy who's worked in the schools for 26 years. He's talking about the instability of the district. And let me tell you, that is being echoed by many people and people who have been in the district for a long time. People who have put everything into the district. And you have teachers that are shocked. Again, this is a guy who they were just getting an email from last week talking about the future of the school. He came here from Durham, North Carolina. He was appointed a year ago, given a four-year contract that paid $285,000 annually. He replaced Dr. Tanja Williams-Knight. She retired at the end of the school year before that. And now he's gone. And in a school district that really needs a distinctive path forward, right? A school district that really, again, there are good teachers in that school. I mean, you've heard, I know a family that teaches in the school. You've heard teachers on this station. There are people in those schools that really care about the schools. They really care about these schools getting on the right track, getting these kids on the right track. I mean, when you're talking about a school district, you are talking about the next generation of, hopefully, of your city, of your region, right? You're hoping these kids want to stay in Western New York, but you got to put them on the right path. And when you hear words like instability and shock, and again, this meeting yesterday had nothing to do with the superintendent. The meeting was called to talk about what was going to happen to the board seat that was left open by a June resignation. So, I mean, not only were they not there for that, they get into the office or into the conference room, and this is what they vote on. It wasn't even in the notes. No one approved those notes. But the thing with me is, this is a guy who clearly didn't think he was going to leave. Right? If 8 days ago, you are putting a 54 pages, ladies and gentlemen, I struggled to get 30 for my senior thesis the second time I took the class, okay? This guy put 54 pages together about the next 5 years of Buffalo City schools. That doesn't seem like someone who's getting ready to leave the next week. He obviously had a very in-depth plan. He was looking at this. He was studying this. He was, I would think, dedicated to it if he's going to put that much work in. And again, talk with teachers, talk with the union, talk with the media. And then a week later, he's gone. Not only gone, how many times do you see someone leave and not get the buyout, the severance? There was no extra money thrown at him. And you just want to sit back and say, what is going on with the Buffalo Public Schools? You know, the biggest district in Western New York. Yeah, there's been a lot of questions surrounding the district. You know, we had the schools that we're going to close them, then we're not going to close them, then maybe we'll close them. You've got board members resigning. And you really wonder, I mean, we are in July, less than 2 months from now, kids will be back in school, and it really seems like leadership is just a mess. It's just a mess all around. And that's nothing, I don't mean any disrespect to the interim superintendent, right? I mean, she was put into a position that I'm sure she had no, she could not see the future. She didn't know that was coming. So I mean no disrespect to her, but there is something going on. And when teachers are speaking out and saying this is shocking and that it shows an instability in the district, and if you missed that interview, we might play that in the second hour after Bruce Blakeman. Bruce Blakeman's joining us in the next segment. But this is disturbing because, again, I know there are a lot of great teachers in the city of Buffalo that want the best for the district, want the best for the kids, okay? Again, we've talked to a few on this station. I have family who teaches in the city schools, and I know they want what's best. They're great teachers. They care. They put a lot of time into their work. And to see the instability and to see the mess, again, you have the resignation last month. You now have the superintendent leaving without any warning and the board being so quick to waive the 90 days, not pushing back on the 90-day notice, not taking any money, no severance, no buyout. You just wonder what's going on. And obviously, we always say this about Buffalo. Buffalo's a small town. Let's be honest. It's a city, but it's a small town. The answers will come out. We'll learn more. Now, this is a guy who resigned in Durham, North Carolina in 2024 after a budget led to a $9 million spending gap. So that was the last job he left. And now leaving this one, not even a full year into his time. Now, the Board of Education, again, they were meeting Monday, not for this. They were meeting to work through a selection process for the new North District board member. I'm not sure they got to that. I didn't get the report on that. As the Teacher Federation president said, it's a total blindsiding. He said that he had met with Dr. Mumbunga on Monday for contract negotiations and had no indication the superintendent would be resigning. Yesterday was Monday. He met with the Federation president yesterday afternoon, and by last night before the 11 o'clock news, he has resigned. I mean, what's going on? And again, obviously, and David said this during his show, obviously we hope that it's not health-related, and we hope he's okay, right? I mean, obviously, if it's health-related, it's completely understandable. You would think words would be put in, like a medical emergency or something. I mean, this just seems so sudden. If the guy is last week putting 54 pages out about what's happening in the next 5 years, if yesterday afternoon he's meeting with the Teacher Federation president, what's going on here? Federation president went on to say, I didn't get any kind of signs that he was going to announce his retirement. Certainly not news like this. So why did he resign? Again, no one knows that. But it comes at, and I'm using the words of the Teacher Federation president, a tumultuous time. And again, it just shows an instability in the city school district. Just really, I mean, with everything going on, and I hate to be so negative, you know, like I want to be the positive guy. I want to be the guy talking about, hey, Old Home Day starts today, and we're less than a month from the fair, and I can't wait to see everybody, and Taste of Buffalo was last weekend, and the Bills are opening the new stadium, and the Sabres are probably going to be really good this year. And I'm going to try more times than not to be that positive guy. But my gosh, guys, the news in Buffalo, lately it's just been so draining. And there's a lot of negativity coming out of the news. And it is difficult to focus on positives when you have crime downtown, which is something we'll get into with Bruce Blakeman next segment. And you have a school district that for the last few years does not seem stable. I mean, I hate to steal the words of the guest this morning, but it doesn't seem stable. And you know, it's unfortunate. It's the biggest district in Western New York. So I don't want to be negative all the time. I don't want to be here complaining and criticizing. I want to be able, I've told you this, I want to be able to come on this radio station one day and say, I was wrong about Sean Ryan. He is bringing the city of Buffalo back. I can't say that. I can't say that today, right? I want to be able to come on the radio and say, look at the turnaround the Buffalo City Schools have done with leadership, and this seems like the district's on the right path. Like I said, I think there are some great teachers in the city, and I will continue to say that, great teachers who care. And even some of them are looking for opportunities outside the city. I mean, I have talked to several teachers in the last few hours. And yeah, you know, hey, it's not like they haven't looked to see who's hiring, is what I'm trying to say. They care, and they want to be part of the solution, and they care about their students, and they care about their job, and they care about the future generation. But it's becoming difficult in a district where you do have the instability, in a district where, you know. You have some teachers that don't feel safe. We've heard that. So just a lot of question marks, not only around city leadership, but Buffalo school leadership. And again, we hope that the former superintendent's okay. We hope it's not a health-related issue. But I do think, especially parents in the city, deserve to know what the heck is going on with the schools they send their children to. 803-0930, star 930. We will get to calls on this topic after we talk with Bruce Blakeman in the next segment. So in the 2 o'clock hour, I will open phone calls up to this very topic. And I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from, I know we have listeners who work in the district. I'd love to get your reaction to this and what you think is going on and where you see the city schools. The former superintendent had a five-year plan. Okay, where do you see the schools in 5 years? So that's something we'll get into after the 2 o'clock news. After the 1:30 news, we'll be talking with Bruce Blakeman. He's running for governor. We have many questions for him and can't wait to talk with Bruce after this.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a place off Ocean Avenue where I used to sit and talk with you.
When you hear this this song, you know it's summertime. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN on a hot Tuesday here in Western New York. Hope everyone is staying comfortable, but enjoying the weather. I always say, you know, you could say, oh, it's too hot. Make sure you have some water, right? Get some water and enjoy it, because 3 months from now, in October, when there still won't be a Costco open in Amherst, you're going to be saying, man, it's starting to get chilly. And then in November, well, we all know how November is, right? November, it kind of starts warmish. Or is that just, you ever like get to fall or get to winter and say, I remember it being colder by this point or warmer by this point. And then finally, you know, the snow starts, like, oh yeah, I wasn't wishing for that. I just remember when it used to be a lot colder. All right, you know, your mind plays games with you. It's just like after winter, you know, March comes around and you think to yourself, I don't remember it being this cold in March. It's like, yeah, it's actually cold until like the second week of May. Like, we have this belief, you get that tease warm week in February, and then March comes by, like, oh, that's right, spring doesn't exist in Western New York, right? We go right from winter to summer. So enjoy the heat, but, you know, make sure you're staying hydrated and staying safe out there. Bruce Blakeman is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. It's a 1:45 scheduled interview, and we look forward to talking with Bruce about this AI Hochul ad that the Hochul campaign has attacked Bruce Blakeman for. We're going to ask him about that. Data centers. Today, the governor. This is something I think Kathy Hochul, she loves to point out, the first in the country. Does that make it like a good thing? The first in the, you know, the first in the country data center ban. Is that a good thing? Again, you know where I stand on data centers. I don't want one in my backyard. I think that's how people feel. But I also realize that we need them, right? I mean, last night, the Home Run Derby was on Netflix. And I'm not doing that so I can sit here and talk about the Home Run Derby. I'm saying that was an event that a lot of people watch, and it was on a streaming platform. That wasn't on cable. That wasn't on over the air. That was on a streaming platform. Well, those things come from data centers, right? When you do a search on Google, you use AI. AI, I mean, is a big user of data centers. So you're using it. You're listening to us on the Odyssey app right now. Well, that somehow is linked through a data center. I mean, it's just the reality of where we are with technology. And my issue with the data center ban is not the ban. It's what is New York State hoping to learn in the year? And we have talked to several assembly members and state senators, and no one can give us that answer. What is New York looking to learn in this year, so when the ban is over, New York can do blank, right? And we haven't heard that. We haven't heard that explanation. We have no idea. if it's just going to end and then what, ramp back up? Hey, we're putting another year in. But that's a tactic I find from Kathy Hochul, the first in the country. She does this for several things. Again, that doesn't make it right. You know what I mean? Like, you were the first in the country to ban fracking. Well, as a state that doesn't frack, I think we can all say, that kind of sucks. Because our utility bills would be a lot lower if we could frack. I mean, it's just a matter of fact. So, again, I'm not, hey, let's build data centers everywhere. I'm a realist, though. And we need data centers. So what's your solution? Unless you are going to no longer use your smartphone, you're no longer going to stream TV. I mean, I would say more people stream than have cable. And I don't mean you don't have cable. I mean, at home, I have Spectrum, right, at my house. I don't have a cable box. My Spectrum comes through streaming. I have this Spectrum streaming app. That is something that is housed in a data center. I mean, that's just reality. That is part of a data center. And a modem somewhere that needs to put all that information out. So even when you turn your TV on, I mean, how many TVs exist now that aren't some type of smart TV, right? A Roku TV, an Amazon TV. And if you don't have that, you probably have a stick hooked up to your television. So again, I'm not sitting here saying, let's put data centers everywhere. I'm just saying we're going to have to learn how to deal with them. And yes, over time, does technology get better where we can house multiple things and not need as much water, not need as much electricity? Possibly. Possibly. We've seen the evolution of technology over time. But again, that I haven't heard what New York is hoping to learn in the next in this year where we have the ban. And that's all. I would just like to I would like to know a little more about what we're hoping to accomplish, what the state is hoping to accomplish. And I'm sure we'll learn. Or maybe we won't. We'll have to see what happens through the next year. We are delighted to be joined now by Nassau County Executive and GOP candidate for Governor Bruce Blakeman. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on, Joe. I love being on your show. Always very fascinating.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And I always love talking with you and look forward to talking with you in the months and years ahead. But Bruce, let's start with the Hochul campaign was very critical of an AI ad that you used, which, again, we've seen other candidates use this. She was very critical of your AI ad. What's your response to her campaign's criticism?
My response is as follows. AI is a useful tool in political campaigns, all kinds of marketing. It is now something that is standard operating procedure if you want to get messages across. It's part of satire and humor that's been used in political campaigns since the days of George Washington. And it's something that is just another tool in the toolbox. And all I can say is I think Shakespeare said, "The lady doth protest too much."
Bruce, do you find humor lost on today's Democrats?
They are humorless. They are, you know, look, right now they're Marxists. So, you know, Marxists aren't known for their humor. Basically, what you have is you have a group of people that are angry. They're angry at America because these are people that are losers. They never contributed anything to society, so now they want to play by the socialist model of just making everybody miserable, and if everybody's miserable, their hope is that you won't figure out that you're miserable. They want to make everybody into this controlled individual that the state controls, government controls. And it's really dangerous. The fact of the matter is we're last in economic development out of 50 states. That's a national embarrassment. Our electric bills are 70% higher than the national average. We have a mayor in New York City who is anti-property rights. He is against people who are high net worth individuals that create things and create jobs for people. And Kathy Hochul is now subservient to Zohran Mamdani, who's running the Democratic Party. They're a lifeless party. They're a humorless party. And they're a party that is just wallowing in their own misery, and they expect us all to be miserable too. I want to make people happy in New York State. You can do that by cutting taxes, cutting their electric bills in half, and having safer communities. That's what people want, creating economic development and prosperity so people have good jobs and good benefits.
You know, Bruce, you talk about safe communities, and we had a business owner on yesterday who said, if it's not the policies out of Albany driving businesses out of Buffalo, it's the violence. And 4th of July weekend, we had 11 people shot in 2 hours. No fatalities, but 11 people sent to ECMC. We are now 10 days later, no arrests in that. And you had another shooting downtown Buffalo this weekend. And they wonder why people don't want to go downtown. And, you know, Bruce, I look at, well, you have no arrest out of the 11 shot in 2 hours in the city of Buffalo. And the Buffalo police are more focused on the promoter. Then you have legislation out of Albany that, you know, raise the age and bail reform. It's like the message is being sent, hey, we are more for the criminal and the criminal's rights than the law-abiding citizen.
Kathy Hochul is the most pro-criminal governor in the United States. Cashless bail, raise the age, the HALT Act, firing 2,000 corrections officers. She still has the National Guard in our prisons. It's costing us $1 billion a year. They're untrained. They don't want to be there. The prisoners are running the prisons. That's why our corrections officers had to take drastic measures to bring it to Kathy Hochul's attention. And she still ignored them. She was punitive and fired them. This is a situation where it's a complete revolving door of criminality. And my county is the safest county in America, according to U.S. News and World Report. I have hired over 900 new police officers, corrections officers, and probation officers. We in Nassau County take public safety very seriously. It's job number one of our public officials. And my plan for Buffalo and all of the upstate urban areas, whether it's Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Binghamton, Utica, Rome, you name it, is first I'm going to come in and make those downtown areas safe. And then after I do that, we're going to enforce all of the laws, even the broken window laws that create a climate where the culture is criminality. And I want to clean that up so people will move back to downtown. I will create economic zones in those urban areas to create jobs and prosperity and new housing, and people will move back to Buffalo. They will enjoy being in an urban environment if that's what they choose. It'll be safe. It'll be vibrant. It'll be exciting. That's my vision for upstate New York cities, especially Buffalo.
Bruce, what do you say to the Buffalo Police Commissioner who 3 days after the shooting came out with a press conference and said she didn't want to create a police state and knows that if she had more officers respond to the situation, it'd be more likely for an officer-involved shooting? I mean, this is supposed to be the person, the pro-police commissioner, and she didn't want to send too many police to a party that got out of control because of the optics?
You know, that is a tagline of over-policing, what they call in certain neighborhoods. And I was approached with that issue early on in becoming county executive. I was at a community meeting, and somebody got up and they said, well, we don't want over-policing in our community. And I said, listen, if there's crime in your community, I am going to send every resource I can to make your community safe, and I don't care what you have to say. The fact of the matter is I want to keep your children and your grandchildren safe. I don't want them to be engaged in gang activity. I don't want them to be shot by a stray bullet. My job is to keep every community safe. And that line about over-policing, that's a bunch of nonsense. You send the resources where they're needed. And if 12 people, 11 people, 10 people are getting shot in communities, I'm going to bring in every asset that I have. I'm going to bring in canine. I'm going to bring in mounted. I'm going to bring in SWAT teams. I'm going to bring in helicopters, whatever it takes to clean the crime out of communities, because every mother should know when their kids go out that their kids are going to be safe. And that's my job, is to make sure that every community is safe, regardless of race, religion, ethnic group, wherever they are on the social and economic ladder, whatever their lifestyles are, whatever their abilities are. I want to make every community safe in New York so that people can live not feeling that they're in danger, but that they're in a community where they can walk around, be free, and enjoy life.
You know, Bruce, and I know you and I have talked about this, but I can't even find the word, but when you talk to someone on the political left or you talk to Governor Hochul and you bring up, hey, could we revisit bail reform, raise the age? They have no appetite for it. But when you talk to people, Bruce, even Democrats, about raise the age bail reform, I mean, we've had several callers in the city of Buffalo who say, you know, they don't feel safe next to their windows in their own home. I mean, it's concerning that the people in Albany on the left don't want to revisit these things that have definitely caused, I would say, an uptick in violence in cities throughout New York State.
Well, you're absolutely right. The fact is that you have to put resources where they're needed to combat crime. You need laws that will keep people in jail who violate the law, not give them a free pass. I mean, think about it. You can go into a store in downtown Buffalo and you can shoplift there and the police can arrest you and you'll be out in the street in an hour and you can do it again and again and again. Well, these shop owners are suffering. And that's why there's no business in our downtown urban areas, because people feel unsafe and they don't want to go on into shops because they know that there's tremendous criminality there because there's no consequences. And again, I want to make downtown Buffalo, as I do every urban area and every community, whether it's suburban, urban, or rural, I want to make it safe. But especially in our urban areas, the bones of Buffalo, the beautiful buildings, the architecture that you have in that city, we can make that into a great city with great jobs. People will feel free. They will feel safe. And we can turn that into places where our young people are going to want to live, and we can repopulate those communities. That's my goal when I become governor. People talk about our upstate urban areas as being blighted and that they've been ignored for years. They have been ignored for years because they've never had a governor in recent memory that's come in and said, hey, look, the status quo is no longer acceptable. We want to make these communities safe. We want to make them vibrant. We want to create jobs. We want to create economic activity. We want to have entertainment. We want to have all kinds of cultural events in our downtown areas and make them into areas where Buffalo was when it was one of the leading cities in the world. We can do that again, but it takes leadership.
Bruce, today Governor Hochul signed a one-year ban on data centers throughout New York State. How do you believe data centers should be handled by Albany?
Well, you know what? She's just taken and waved the white flag. It's a lack of courage, a lack of conviction. Data centers are the future of our economic activity going forward. To believe that AI is not going to be an important part of our economy is just sticking your head in the sand. So let's do it the right way. Let's do it the smart way. Let's let local government partner up with businesses that want to put these centers in. Let's create economic benefits for local communities to put data centers in so they can determine whether they want them or not, but you make that available. And we have to increase our energy supply, or we're going to fall behind in every area of economic development. Kathy Hochul's plan to make us all electric is pie in the sky. It's a green energy scam. It's never going to happen. We're running out of energy as it is. We've got one of the largest natural gas reserves in the world here in New York, yet Kathy Hochul is so disingenuous. She's using the natural gas from that area, but she's buying it from the other side of the border in Pennsylvania. completely hypocritical and counterproductive to building a vibrant economic model here in New York State. So I would say that we need to work and make sure that we have local government approval, because I don't want to force anything on any local governments, but create incentives so that certain areas of our local government will want them to locate, create jobs, create economic activity, and lower taxes and lower our energy bills.
Bruce, final question. We have 1 minute, and I got several messages yesterday asking, where can people get yard signs?
Okay. Go to BlakemanForNewYork.com, BlakemanForNewYork.com. You know, the gratifying thing about the yard signs is I have purchased tens of thousands of them, and they're going like hotcakes. So that's a great sign, no pun intended. What we'll do is we are buying more. I just ordered 10,000 more. We'll keep ordering them because people want them. It's a sign that people are making an emotional investment in my campaign, because if you take the time to get a sign and put it on your front lawn, then you are emotionally involved and invested in my campaign. And that's what we want. Turnout is going to be very important. We've got to get people excited. We've got to end Hochul Mandami rule in New York State and bring some sanity back to our state.
Absolutely. Bruce, you always got a place here. Anytime you want to come on in Buffalo, you just let me know and we'll have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Joe. It's always a pleasure, as I said. Thank you so much. God bless you and God bless America.
Great talking with you. Bruce Blakeman, GOP candidate for governor and Nassau County executive. We'll be back with hour two after this. Are you guys following this diarrhea parasite that's going around? You know, we heard about it like a week or so ago, and now 31 states, you got an investigation into Taco Bell about the parasite. So I've been reading up on this because I don't know about you. I mean, I don't like being sick with anything. But you know, like your everyday cold, I can usually go do some cardio, and that, I know that loosens things up, I guess is a way to say it. I hate stomach aches. I am the worst with stomach aches. Like I am down for the count. I'm laying on the floor. I do not like stomach aches. No thanks. And reading this thing about, what do they call it? Cyclospora, the infectious disease, is contaminating the most beautiful, delicious seasonal foods there are. And like it says, to date, no commercially frozen produce. Now, hey, I've been known to buy some frozen cauliflower rice. Right, it's better than ricing it myself. But a frozen produce does not taste as good as fresh produce, right? Can we just be honest? The frozen stuff does not taste as good. It's great in a pinch. It's great to bring, you know, to the office for lunch because you can throw it in the freezer. And, you know, stuff seemingly doesn't get messed with in the freezer like it does in a refrigerator. And I'm not saying that happens at Odyssey. I'm saying at other places I've worked. Okay? I don't want to be throwing shade at anyone at my current employer. But, you know, fresh produce. And now you've got the Department of Health in California saying even washing fresh produce might not be enough to stop this parasite that causes, if you're eating lunch right now, just want to give you a warning. It causes explosive diarrhea. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has confirmed 800 cases of cyclosporalysis in over half of the U.S. states. So they're also investigating 1,500 additional suspected cases. From January 26th to June 26th, the state of California alone has had 41 cases. California is not one of the states currently experiencing an increase of cases. New York, by the way, is. At this time, there are no local outbreaks, again, in California, because somehow I got the California article. The illness is caused by a microscopic parasite which infects the small intestine if people consume contaminated food or water. According to the CDC, infected people often develop watery diarrhea with frequent and sometimes explosive bowel movements. The agency said symptoms usually begin about 1 week after exposure. So you're walking around with this parasite doing work. Although it can appear anywhere from 2 days to more than 2 weeks later. State and federal health officials are continuing to investigate multiple outbreaks. In previous U.S. outbreaks, cyclospora has repeatedly been linked to fresh produce, including raspberries, basil, cilantro, green onions, snow peas, lettuce, and salad mixes. Oh, great. Everything I eat. Research has also connected past outbreaks to blackberries, mangoes, and store-prepared vegetable trays. Health officials in Michigan, one of the states hardest hit by the outbreak, are beginning to suspect lettuce or salad greens may be responsible, although the investigation remains ongoing. Oh, this is great. I have the big mixing bowl I bring into the office every day. Everyone, Tanner knows what I'm talking about because I usually don't wash it until the final segment of this show. I get the big bowl and I have, you know, the mixed salads in there and I eat it out of a huge mixing bowl. I'm eating lettuce every day. I have lettuce for lunch and dinner. If lettuce is one of the top things, well, I'm off the rest of the week, but if you don't hear me next week, you know what happened, okay? Cyclospora got a hold of me. The CDC says people become infected after eating food or drinking water. Unlike many stomach bugs, it's unlikely to spread, so that's good. So you can take care of the person who has the explosive diarrhea because it's unlikely to spread because it takes at least 1 to 2 weeks outside the body before it becomes infectious. Officials recommend following proper food safety practices when preparing meals. However, they say that some produce, even with cleaning, may not be safe to eat. And we're talking about some of the healthiest foods, right? It's not like gummy bears have the parasite. All right, gummy bears, delicious, but maybe not the best food for you. You know, here I am. You know, I've lost weight. I'm trying to keep the weight off, thanks to the great people over at Awaken 180. But a big part of that is eating healthy greens, healthy veggies. And I'm like a freak when it comes to washing vegetables. I run it under hot water. I make sure it's all washed to get the colander out, and you're shaking that. And now you tell me you could do all the washing in the world and the parasite might still be on the vegetables. I don't know about you guys. Like, again, give me a bug that I have a little congestion. I don't like that. But okay, I can deal with congestion. I can deal with a headache. I can deal with an earache. Something about stomach bugs and just not knowing, right? Like, I have a pretty long drive this weekend. What if I eat some lettuce or a carrot or, you know, another vegetable? Basil. I love basil. Green onions. Are you kidding me? Mangoes? What if I have a mango and we're driving home and the parasite hits? It says it can last for 1 to 2 weeks. 1 to 2 weeks with on and off explosive diarrhea. I don't know. This scares me. Okay, this scares me more than the pandemic. I know that's crazy to say, but that scares me. I don't want to. Could you imagine you had like a delicious salad a week ago, and you're at work right now, and this parasite hits, it starts doing its work, and now you've got to use the company bathroom. Everyone sees you go in there. Should I get off this topic? I'm sorry. I just, be careful, everybody. Be safe out there. And someone said, do they find what's causing this? Yes, it's a parasite that they said you can't even wash it off. Like some, you could soak something in the sink, like Kramer when he was preparing the salad in the shower. and the parasite might still not come off of the veggies. But we'll move off it. I don't want to turn too many people off. I know, you know, 2 o'clock, some people you're eating lunch or maybe your mid-afternoon snack. 803-0930. Star Knight, someone just texted in diapers. Oh, man. Before Bruce Blakeman, and again, we thank the county executive for coming on. Bruce Blakeman. No, I'm sorry. The Nassau County Executive. No, you didn't miss Mark Poloncarz if you're just tuning into the show. We thank Bruce Blakeman for coming on and answering our questions. And again, open line for Bruce anytime he wants to come on. By the way, open line for Kathy Hochul. And you can believe me or not, but I have made every attempt to get Kathy Hochul to come on Hardline, to come on this program, and have a conversation. I mean, again, she might not like the opinions of me, the opinions of David, the opinions of Tom, but we are, you know, top of the list for a reason, and this is her hometown. She pretends to know about her hometown when the Bills are playing. It'd be nice if the governor would come on this radio station and talk to her hometown. So it's an open invite to Kathy Hochul, and it is kind of disappointing. I was talking with a buddy this morning about, I mean, there was a time where Kathy Hochul was on the air with me every Friday. Do you remember this? When I used to do the Friday show during COVID. And Kathy Hochul, then Lieutenant Governor, would call in, I think it was every Friday or at least once a month. I think it was every Friday, though. And she would, you know, update what was going on, tell us about COVID and all this stuff. And, you know, just echoing, repeating the stuff that Cuomo would say in his daily television show. But she had no problem coming on the station. And again, it was weekly as the lieutenant governor. Now, I realize she's the governor and she can't do weekly call-ins. But it would be nice if she would, you know, answer some tough questions. Answer some tough questions. You know, why won't you revisit bail reform? You know, play her the calls that we've had on this show of people living in the city of Buffalo, people living on the east side, in the fear to just walk down the street to grab something from the market, or the fear of being by your window when you hear stuff outside. Play that for Kathy Hochul. Governor Hochul, how do you respond to that? Again, if you're going to ignore, I mean, my gosh, you have people in your own party saying that raise the age needs to be revisited, but there's no appetite in Albany, no one in the assembly, not one person, not one Democrat in the assembly, not one Democrat in the state Senate wants to revisit raise the age, bail reform. You have Democrat DAs, I mean, not our DA, but you do have some Democrat DAs throughout the state who are talking about how awful this is, how you're putting criminals back on the street. Again, a convicted murderer, and I know I repeat this a million times, but I'm sorry, I think this makes the point that needs to be made. This needs to be brought to the floor of the assembly. A convicted murderer out of jail pulls a knife on a deputy mayor and is charged with fourth degree weapons possession and put back on the street. He's a convicted murderer with a weapons charge. How do you look at that and say, these are working great for the people? This is great for the citizens of New York. How do you do that? And again, if you're so confident, Governor Hochul, I would love her to come on and answer these questions. And again, I thought Governor Hochul and I had great conversations back during COVID when she was lieutenant governor. I just want to know how you can make common sense of that. How you can explain to me how it's good for me, my family, the people of Buffalo, the people of Western New York, how it's good that this man is back on the streets. He's a convicted murderer. I'm sorry. It should be, a lot of charges should be situation by situation, right? If you're a convicted murderer, you do 25 years, I think, in jail, in prison, and you get released, shouldn't you have a short leash? Shouldn't I don't think you get the three strikes, right? Next strike, you're back in prison for the rest of life. Isn't that how it should work? You're going to tell me that person's not dangerous? They don't pose a risk to the community? He pulls a knife on a deputy mayor for saying, hey, don't urinate in public. And according to Kathy Hochul in New York State, that is not bail eligible, pulling a knife in the fourth degree. Again, let's not look at this as a blanket, everyone who gets charged with this. It should be looked situation by situation. That should be in the discretion of the judge. Because I bet I could get the WBEN microphone, take it, you know, to anywhere, any place of business, take it to the mall and ask 10 people. And I'm going to bet that a majority of people say, yeah, that guy should not be out on an appearance ticket. So these are the questions that Governor Hochul should be answering. She should be answering the questions I just gave to Bruce Blakeman. You know, defend your decisions. Every time I ask somebody, do you think there's an appetite to revisit this? I get a no. I get that from Republicans and Democrats. There's no appetite. Republicans have an appetite, don't get me wrong, but they know there's no appetite on the other side of the aisle. And these are the people that, you know, again, they run away. They don't want to answer the question, right? I mean, I've asked Karen McMahon several times to come on Hardline. Apparently, Karen McMahon doesn't get my text messages until Sunday night. I don't know. You know, the first time that happens, okay. Understandable. The second time, I just saw this, Joe. Again, you just saw this? That's somebody avoiding you, right? I've you know, back when single Joe Beamer was out and dating, before marriage, I had that played on me a few times. Oh, Joe, hope you had a great weekend. I just saw my text messages. You did? Because when we hung out, you were glued to your phone the entire time. But yeah, you know, I asked the assemblywoman, would you come on Hardline and talk about, you know, what you've done in your race against Terry McGuire? And now twice, somehow she has not read the text or the Facebook message until after Hardline aired. That's, what a coincidence. What a strange coincidence. 803-0930, star 930 is the number to get on. We got one segment left. This is kind of my Friday. So I know I talked about it and I ranted about it in the first segment. If anyone wants to comment on the situation in Buffalo Public Schools with the superintendent literally just resigning hours after having a meeting about teacher contract negotiations, a week after releasing a 54-page memo about the five-year plan for Buffalo schools, if you want to call about that, I'd love to talk to someone in the district, someone who teaches, just shed some kind of light on this. And you know, Mark Bruno talked about it. What is this crisis? I mean, do you feel the same way as Mark Bruno when he was talking with Susan O'Brien this morning? It does seem like a leadership crisis. It does seem like instability. We are now looking at our third superintendent since Kiner Cash stepped down a few years ago. 803-0930, star 930. We'll take your calls on that, and we'll wrap it up here after the news.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Joe Beamer, final segment here on News Radio 930 WBEN. After this, I'm heading into a long weekend. I hope you don't miss me too much, but I hope you miss me a little bit, though. Like, I hope you want to hear me on Monday when I come back, but I know you'll love the financial guys the next 3 days, right? They'll be on the next 4 days because they're in for me, and then they have their show on Saturday. I always, you know, I love the financial guys, and as I always say, they were the first ones to let me say anything on air. Back when I was their producer in 2011, 2012, they would, you know, let me put my insight on things, and I've always appreciated that. And I know they'll be great these next 3 days in for me as I take in some of the sun in North Carolina. Tom Puckett, who will also do an incredible job on Hardline, he fills in for me Sunday on Hardline, and then I will be back next Monday. 803-0930, star 930, if you would like to chime in this final segment. You know, we had the superintendent resigning, and I'm sure more of that will, what happens will come out. Right. I mean, you don't meet with contract negotiations for the teachers and 4 hours later resign. I mean, something happened there. The board waiving the 90 day notice, no buyout, no severance. Something happened, and I'm sure we'll find out. But it does give people this idea, this feeling of instability. It gives people this feeling of, what are we going into? I mean, 2 months from now, school will already be back in session. What are we walking into? And as I said in the first segment, you know, there are great teachers in the city who want what's best for the kids, want what's best for the community, want what's best for the schools. But it does seem like leadership has been kind of a mess lately. Working now with the interim superintendent is the third superintendent since Kreiner Cash. And where is the district? We're having a debate about closing two schools. We're going to close it. We're not going to close them. It's got to be a very difficult time for administrators, teachers, obviously staff, the school board. I mean, again, they have a meeting yesterday, which was supposed to focus on replacing the North District chair, and instead get blindsided by this resignation. And that's the words you use from that have been used from teachers throughout the district. It's a blindsiding by a guy who 8 days ago was releasing a 54-page document talking about the 5-year plan. So again, I don't come in here wanting to be negative. I want to be, you know, hey, Erie County Fair less than a month away. Old Home Day starts today. Like all this, you know, the fun stuff, the great stuff about Western New York. But we're just constantly hit with the negative, right? The superintendent, where's that going to go? What direction is the school district going to go in? And then, you know, I mean, for over a week now, we've been talking about the 11 shot in the city of Buffalo in 2 hours, and the response by the commissioner and the mayor, and again, to me, I think is was a unacceptable response by leadership in the city of Buffalo. Well, then we find out that there was a 17-year-old shot on Pearl Street downtown. Now, again, I am told by Sean Ryan and Mark Poloncarz when they were announcing the Get Downtown or whatever that initiative was, I am told it's safe. Yes, it's safe. And then I'm criticized when I say, well, people don't want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from you. They want to see that it's safe, right? Part of that is, yes, seeing police and seeing the security, but it's also not seeing headlines, 17-year-old shot on Pearl Street. Fights break out on Chippewa. Now, there was a time in my life, in my 20s, when I would frequent Chippewa. All right, I'm not gonna run away from that. I was in my 20s once. And I don't remember the constant fighting. And now it seems like we're hearing about fights on Chippewa. I mean, again, if it weren't for the 11 shot on the 4th of July in the city of Buffalo, we would have been talking about the fights on Chippewa that were happening on the night of the 4th of July. I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, what gets people downtown, gets young people downtown. But who wants to walk into a situation where we're repeatedly hearing, especially the busier times of year, of violence breaking out, police called to Chippewa again, right? You know, three arrested in fight. And then when you hear on Pearl Street, a 17-year-old's getting shot by an 18-year-old. I mean, what's going on? And you wonder why people don't want to go downtown. I mean, I had someone text me last week, and this is a person who loves Buffalo, loves going downtown, right? I mean, has pushed back on me before about things I've said about Buffalo. And again, I'm always rooting for Buffalo, always rooting for Buffalo, always will root for Buffalo. But I had someone tell me that not only did they not want to go to the Taste of Buffalo? Their friends didn't feel safe going to the Taste of Buffalo. And again, this is a person who has been critical of some of my responses to what's happened in my criticisms of the city. They didn't feel, they didn't want to go to the Taste of Buffalo. Now, I think the Taste of Buffalo is a top five Buffalo event, right? And this is nothing against the Taste of Buffalo. I love the Taste of Buffalo. I want them to continue getting bigger and bigger and bigger and being as great as they are. But Buffalo's got to lend a hand. You know, and you heard the Taste of Buffalo talk about all the security they put into their event. And not only when the event's going, they have all their stands and stuff protected at night when the event is set up. But it's on the city of Buffalo. It's on the city of Buffalo to clean it up. And, you know, we hear so much about the optics from the commissioner and from the mayor. Well, the optics continue to not be good for a city that is trying to turn things around. Right? A city that is trying to say, hey, not only is it safe, we've got stuff to do. And, you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but when you have 11 shot and sent to ECMC, and not one person's been arrested, the optics aren't great. Because the message is being sent, hey, look what you can get away with in Buffalo. And another message is being sent, maybe not the safest place to go visit. And that pains me to say. And I want to see the biggest turnaround ever. I want to see Buffalo become all it can be. You know, Bruce Blakeman talked about it in his interview. If you missed that, it's available on the Odyssey app and at WBEN.com. And I want to thank Tanner for posting that. But as Bruce Blakeman said, he wants Buffalo to be all it can be. I mean, and that's what I've been saying for years. I want the city to be what it can be because it can be great. The people are great. The people of Buffalo, the people of Western New York are good people, are hardworking people. We are being failed every day by incompetent leadership at the city level, at the county level, at the state level. We are being failed by people who, and let's be honest, were placed there. I mean, the reason we have Erica Shields as a commissioner, the reason we have Sean Ryan as mayor is because Jeremy Zellner wanted to be a state senator, right? So the changes you're seeing in Buffalo, the optics from the commissioner is all because Jeremy Zellner wanted to be a state senator, and he gets to be a state senator for less than a year. Because if Jeremy Zellner didn't want to be a state senator, Chris Scanlon would still be mayor. And yes, I've had my criticisms of Chris Scanlon, especially after he gets stabbed in the back by the Democrats and then endorses Jeremy Zellner. I'll never understand. I mean, I do understand that he doesn't want to lose his livelihood. But that was really disappointing. But one thing about Chris Scanlon, he was a friend of the police, right? He worked with the police. I don't see Chris Scanlon as ever hiring a commissioner who would say, I don't want to throw too many police at a situation because there might be an officer-involved shooting. Right? I could never see Scanlon hiring a commissioner with that mindset. He was endorsed by the police. So again, we could have our criticisms about Chris Scanlon's handling of the budget, Chris Scanlon's handling of certain things in downtown Buffalo. By the way, Sean Ryan then followed and tried to do the same things that Chris Scanlon wanted to do. But one thing Scanlon did that I don't yet see from Sean Ryan is Chris Scanlon defended the police. He was a friend of the police. And he knew that he needed to have the optics that he needed to make Buffalo a safe place. He needed to make Buffalo a place where people came and felt safe. And when the answer from the city mayor is it is safe, and doesn't kind of ignores the rest of the question, kind of pushes away the question, brushes it off, that's concerning. You cannot ignore people's concerns. Okay? When you see someone shot on Pearl Street, when you see countless fights breaking out weekend after weekend on Chippewa, when 11 are being shot in 2 hours in the city of Buffalo, you cannot just brush people's concerns off and say it is safe. And we've seen it from Sean Ryan. We've seen it from Mark Poloncarz. People need to feel it. People need to feel safe. But again, I cannot end this show and be off for 6 days without pointing out Erica Shields as commissioner because Jeremy Zellner wanted to be a state senator. And I just think that's something that people need to remember. And I think that's something that, maybe you think about when Jeremy Zellner's running for re-election as party chair. Which, by the way, I think is interesting. He was out at the Amherst headquarters, Democrat headquarters, talking about how we have to, you know, campaign for Karen McMahon and the guy running for county clerk and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know. You don't have just a little bit of shame. Like, you're in the town, the biggest town of the district that you got embarrassed by John Rivera. And you're standing up in front of the committee talking about what we have to do. Well, obviously, you don't have the support of the people in your party. You didn't lose a general election. You didn't lose because they're Republicans. You lost because people in your own party said, yeah, something doesn't feel right about Jeremy Zellner. And then he's standing up in front of Amherst Democrats. It's just, again, I'll go back to optics, a word I've probably used way too much time in this show. It's not the best optics for Jeremy Zellner. You know, again, I guess I have too much shame, too much pride. I don't know. Like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't stand up weeks later and say, hey, I know 2,000 less people voted for me, and I got embarrassed, and I outspent my opponent 3-1. But hey, I know what to do to get Karen McMahon reelected. I don't know. I'm not a Democrat, but I could just imagine, yeah, maybe this guy doesn't have the answers. Maybe I saw the polling. Maybe he doesn't have the answers. I don't know. But that's not until September. All right, before I get out of here, I have to bring this up. So I don't know about you, and I'll talk more about this when I get back on Monday. I don't know about you, but when I see places that I thought were completely gone, if I'm anywhere close to those places, I try to make an effort to go visit those places, right? Remember Friendly's? We used to have a Friendly's right across the street from the station here. It was next to what used to be Hooters and then was McGregor's, which was a great bar out of Rochester. And now it's, I believe, a building for UB. But there was a Friendly's there. And when I lived in Hornell, New York, Steuben County, there was a Friendly's right on Route 36 that my family and I went to all the time. And that was old school Friendly's where half was smoking, half was non-smoking. But, you know, everyone remembers Friendly's for their ice cream. Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so I don't have the best memories of their ice cream. I don't want to go back to talking about, what happens, what we talked about in the first segment. So I don't really have the best memories of their ice cream, but I think their honey mustard is the best that ever existed. I love a good honey mustard, and I think Friendly's has the best honey mustard. And I thought Friendly's was completely gone. Like, I thought they had gone out of business. And I would say they went out of business because they got rid of their edible salad bowl. If you remember back in the 90s, they had a salad bowl. I would always get the crispy chicken salad with honey mustard. Yes, as an 8-year-old, I was eating crispy chicken salads with honey mustard. And then when you're done with the salad, you could eat this, like, it was like a tortilla chip bowl. It was delicious. I loved that. And they got rid of it. And their honey mustard was warm, right? Like, they heated it up, and it came in this silver little pouring dish. Oh, it was amazing. Well, I find out because of an email that we got an email about something happening with Friendly's to us here at Odyssey. So I click Friendly's to see, oh, Friendly's is still in business. Where are they? So I just put it in the search, and I find out there's one 21 miles from where I'm going to vacation. So I'm like, well, tomorrow we're going to get in the car and drive the 21 miles because there's a Friendly's right down the street, technically, compared to where there is in Buffalo, because there's none. I don't know about you. I feel the same way. Friendly's, Fuddruckers, I guess all places that used to be across the street from the station. That's what I'm saying. No, but Friendly's, Fuddruckers, a good Johnny Rockets burger. Yeah. Like, if that's nearby, I'm going to go get an ostrich burger from Fudd's. But no, there's a Friendly's down the street. And tomorrow, I'm going to hopefully get, without the edible bowl, because they don't do that anymore, the crispy chicken salad and that delicious honey mustard. I'm trying to think if there's other places that used to be in Buffalo that are no longer in Western New York, but there are locations elsewhere throughout the country. And I'm blanking on it now. But I know people are like that with, what was the chicken place? It's in Canada. There was one on the boulevard right next to Tully's. Oh my gosh, I can picture it. They tore it down, but I can picture it like it's right there. Swiss Chalet, is that it? I know people will go up to Canada. Yeah, that's it. I know people will go up to Canada just to go get Swiss Chalet. Well, that's how I feel about Friendly's. If I'm within driving distance of a Friendly's, I'm going to get myself the crispy chicken salad. Now watch. Watch me go tomorrow and it be completely disappointing. Like to the point where I go, all right, well, I can see why they're closing around the country. Another place that I absolutely love, I guess other people don't share this with me, is Ruby Tuesdays. I love a good Ruby Tuesdays. The salad bar at Ruby Tuesdays. Oh, you take 5 trips up there, you're full. I love a good Ruby Tuesdays. Pains me that there's none left in Western New York. I'd rather Ruby Tuesdays comes back to Western New York than Fridays. But a good Ruby Tuesdays. Now, here's the thing, as I always say, we have the best food in Buffalo, right? Our local establishments are the best. So it's not as if I miss these places. But if I'm in driving distance and can visit them when I'm on vacation, I will go. I'll go get a Ruby Tuesday salad bar. Or as I said, tomorrow, the Friendly's honey mustard. I'll let you know on Monday if it lived up to what I remember or if it either went downhill or I just build it up too much in my mind. Because that could happen too, right? Well, I hope you have a great week. As I said, the financial guys are in for me the rest of the week. Not hopefully. I know they'll do an amazing job and they'll be in for me. Stefan Mihailu is in for Tom Bowerly next. Tom Puckett is in for me on Hardline on Sunday. I will talk with you Monday at 1. Have yourself a great week. Enjoy the heat, but just make sure you stay hydrated. And we'll talk to you Monday. Stefan Mihailu is next on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.